You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
And I need you to tell me if this is something long term,
right,
or if I need to go somewhere else. And I don't want you to take it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Christian Williamson back on the podcast today, man.
Yeah.
Good to have you back.
Glad to be here.
You are an awesome friend. We have known each other for not that long, probably, what, 6, 7, 8 months?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that long, but I feel really close to you. I feel like I could unload personal things from my life to you. You're just that kind of guy. You're such a good listener. You empathize. Mm-hmm. You have great advice, which is, you know, these are the reasons that I love to have you on this podcast. Yeah. And I'm glad you're back today. Because as we go through these people's questions, and that's what the format of this podcast is. If you have anything for us, you email GrangerSmithPodcast@gmail.com, and we're going to answer these questions. We do this every Monday. Christian, you're great at it. You are one of the pastors at Celebration Church in Georgetown, Texas.
That's right.
What is your title?
Well, I'm the ministries pastor and
ministries
pastor and associate campus pastor at the broadcast campus. So,
gotcha.
Oversee the broadcast campus activities on Sunday and throughout the week, and then what we do within our different ministries at all campuses. So,
and you are a Bama man, War Eagle.
That's right.
Yeah, we got that straight last time. This is not a Roll Tide kind of guy.
No,
I like that. I relate to War Eagle.
So you think you'd be an Auburn fan if you were?
I went to Texas A&M.
Okay.
And so the way that the state of Texas is split up, it's similar with Roll Tide and War Eagle and Hook'em Horns and Giggle Maggies.
That's right.
It's kind of similar. And so, you know, A&M is the agricultural college, you know. And
I feel
a connection with Auburn in that sense. I'm going to take us right to football.
Let's go.
I'm going to take us right to SEC football.
It's good because we're, a few weeks away?
We're so close. And so what better way to start this podcast with a question from you guys. Once again, GrangerSmithPodcast@gmail.com. Email anything. And this is a football question. It says, "Hey, Granger, my family and I are big South Carolina Gamecock fans. Texas A&M has owned us since y'all joined the SEC, unfortunately. But I can't say enough good things about Aggie fans since you guys have joined." It says, "I have family in Waxahachie that I've never visited, but I have plans to go to the Gamecock game when they play the Aggies and make a big trip out of it. For a potential once-in-a-lifetime trip to College Station, Texas, what are the do's and see's of an out-of-towner? Sounds like I need to go to the Dixie Chicken. Ironic for when you guys are playing us fighting chickens.
Right.
It's a staple that needs to be checked out. Do you know if I could stay awake? Do you know if I could stay awake these days for the midnight yell? Or who knows? Come tailgate with us sometimes in Columbia. Go Cox. Yee yee, Andy." So my question, I'll kick it to you, Christian, first. Have you been to Columbia, South Carolina? Have you
been to a game there? I haven't been to a Gamecock stadium or to a game there.
Yeah.
I've been to an Auburn Gamecocks game, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I've been to Auburn. It's an awesome town.
Yeah.
I've toured in every SEC town.
Oh, wow.
We've played a show and we've seen most of the stadiums. I've seen Auburn.
Yeah.
Seen South Carolina. And so I love it. I love questions like this because what's so cool, what I love about college football is people getting to travel and you're going to support your team, but you're also seeing almost like a new culture.
It is. I think from one, you know, what's interesting is I travel and go to different stadiums is what you said, the culture of how there's tradition, you know, within from one team to the next. And I love the community and the family dynamic, man, and just the camaraderie, the tailgating, all of that stuff that goes along with it. So,
yeah, I love that. I want to encourage everyone listening. If you go to a game or more importantly, if you're a home team welcoming a visitor, just always welcome them with open arms. It says so much more about your school and your town. Mm-hmm. If you see someone wearing, in this case, you know, red and black, and they walk up and red and black and white, and you just go, "Hey, welcome to College Station."
Yeah.
You know, so excited to have you guys here. If you need anything, let me know. If you need any restaurant advice, you know, that goes so far.
It's just hospitality.
Hospitality. Man. Yeah. So, Andy, you're asking all the right questions. I think Dixie Chicken would be awesome. It's a really old, I say really old, this is 1970s. It's not that old.
Yeah.
But iconic. Midnight Yell is iconic for College Station. So, I think you should stay awake and go do that. And I don't know when that game is, but you should probably bring sunscreen and hydrate before you go because it's College Station, Texas. It's hot. It's the South. Yeah, man. Thanks for emailing. I hope you guys have fun. And for all the other schools out there, excited about the season. Yeah, really excited.
Yeah.
So at this point, Christian, I'm going to start knocking out some of these questions. And I don't really have an order on how deep they are. So we might go right in to something super deep, but I want to read some of the titles to you and see if any of them stand out to you. Something's Missing. Family Dilemma. Friendship Question. Monster in Law. Relationship Advice. Help. Being a New Dad. Any of those?
Let's do the friendship question.
Friendship question, the one that I stumbled over. Says, "Hey Granger, I've been struggling with some friendships lately where I currently live, and it seems like everyone who's called themselves my friend isn't there when I need someone to talk to. I'm actually moving to Austin, Texas soon, and I've considered reaching out to a local Facebook group to try to make some new friends down there virtually and then hopefully meet some of them in person when I move. I really need some new friends, but I don't want to sound desperate. Any advice?" Brittany.
Hmm. Brittany.
Works out great. That she's moving to Austin.
She is moving to Austin.
Because we could direct her very specifically.
Very specifically to celebration.church, where there's some incredible people, great small groups. But, you know, Brittany, as I heard that, I think it's important that you set, I think in our relationships and in our friendships, we got to have clear expectations, healthy expectations on what we expect out of certain relationships. If there's some people, as Granger said in the top of this video, there's some people you bring in real close. There's some people you can share anything with, but then there are some that, you know, just, it's just important to have realistic expectations on what that relationship is.
Yeah.
And I would ask the question, are you perhaps putting, unrealistic expectations on all of those relationships?
Interesting.
Cause you know, Granger, I don't have the capacity to be extremely close to a lot of people.
Do any of us?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So there's only a few people. The world
thinks that we should be friends with 473 people.
Right.
It says that right on our Facebook profile. Yeah. So the world expects that, isn't that our friends?
Yeah.
And then you think, of course not. Of course it's not 400 friends. It's a third of that.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It's still too many.
Yeah, it's still too many.
Yeah, it's still too many. So Brittany, again, I hate that you're struggling in this area, but just... you know, find a great group of people, whether it's a Facebook friend group, a local church, a gym, you know, like finding a group fitness and latch on to two or three people and pour into that relationship and let them pour back into you.
Absolutely. Wouldn't you say that there's we kind of take pride. It's such a terrible word, pride. Yeah. We take pride in how many friends
we
have. When in reality, two or three.
Yeah.
Really, really good friends are so much more valuable than 23, 24
yeah.
close friends.
I agree. Yeah, I think there's a difference between friendships and counsel.
Mm, yeah.
So I think I need more than two or three counsels in my life, like wise counsel, someone you know, invest in me and helping me with my family, with my finances, with my job, just wise counsel.
Yeah.
But I can't be extremely close to all of those individuals.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So lower your expectations with what you're expecting to get out of it. Lower your expectations on how many you're expecting to have, according to what the world thinks that you should have. And when you moved to Austin, first of all, I don't know if the Facebook group before you move virtually, I don't know if that matters.
I don't know.
Set a couple things up, but what's really going to matter is when you actually move to kind of implant yourself. Like Christian said, a gym is a great thing, or any other hobby that you have. Of course, we're going to recommend Celebration Church. There's a central location in Austin that's that the central location of Celebration Church is great because it's much smaller and much more intimate.
Mm.
How many people are in that congregation?
About 250.
About 250. Yeah. And that's a good night.
Yeah. Yeah. That's average attendance, adults attendance, but it's probably made up of maybe 400 people, but not everybody comes every Sunday.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So Brittany, you do that. We're going to see you there.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
I want to be your friend, Brittany.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for emailing. Such a great question.
Yeah. Was there a new dad question?
Yeah.
This is a
good memory.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where was that? Being a new dad says, "Hey Granger, first of all, I just want to thank you for all your videos that y'all put out." Marshall from Tacoma, Washington. My son recently turned one, and I love him to death, but I'm struggling with getting down and playing with him and being active with him. I just feel like I'm talking and playing with myself. Seeking advice. Thank you, Marshall from Tacoma. That's a good question.
It's a good question.
I felt like that. I have felt like that. And I understand the sentiment that Marshall has here, because you're playing with a one-year-old and you're like, well, I'm playing because I'm supposed to be playing and I'm a dad, but is this kid getting anything out of what we're doing?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
I would agree.
Yes.
I think it's proximity.
Right.
You know, it's just it's about just being close to your son. Although you might be trying to play with a ball with him and he may never remember that moment, or you're watching TV with him or whatever it is that a one-year-old, I don't know what a one-year-old does. I have teenagers now. So it's been quite a while, but I think it's important that you're spending time together just because there's a bond that's happening.
Yeah.
The proximity, being close, repetition, just your son constantly seeing your face, knowing your voice, knowing your smell, you know, hey.
Yeah.
I think
that's such a good point. And see, Marshall, we're almost going to say the same things we did with the last question. Lower your expectations again, you know, lower your expectations on what you're expecting to get out of this moment from you, because you to get down on this one-year-old's level, it could be as easy as, and did you say if it's a boy or girl?
I think you said it was
son. Son. So it's as easy as picking him up, taking him outside and walk him by the leaves of a tree.
Yeah.
And there's the leaves and put the leaves in reach of your son, where he could just touch the leaves and pull them in and put them on his mouth, you know, and it's as easy as that. You don't have to play checkers you don't have to get blocks and build stacks. You could just walk outside to a tree. This is not only building this bond with your son, but it's also cultivating the love that you have for him too. Yeah. Don't you think?
Oh, I would agree. I would agree. Cause you're getting, it's an intimate, up close, personal thing that you're able to see your son. You know, last week he didn't notice the leaves on the tree, but this week he notices the leaves on the tree. He notices the texture and he notices the feel and the smell and so it's you getting just really that front row seat of watching your son grow up and mature.
The thing about being a new dad is that you can't see, you're in the trenches now, and you can't see from from the outside looking in, that this son, your boy, is going to change every month. And that it changes drastically. I mean, at one, he's going to be walking. If he's not already walking, he's walking any day now. And then he's going to be talking. And then he's going to be a toddler. And he's going to be on the go. And then he's going to be in kindergarten. And you blink an eye, he's going to be ready for middle school.
I would say cherish these moments.
Cherish them.
Cherish them, because they grow up fast.
Yeah. It's hard to do. It takes patience and discipline. But just know at the end of this, just know you're doing the right thing by just spending some time with them.
Yeah. So good.
We got time. Knock out a few more before the break. We have something's missing. Family dilemma. Monster-in-law. I need relationship advice.
Let's do something's missing.
Something's
curious.
Missing.
Curiosity's got the best of me.
Hey, Granger. My name's Zach. I'm from Laramie, Wyoming. I'm 21 years old, a junior at the University of Wyoming, studying wildlife biology and management. Go Pokes. I have a steady job as an ADA shuttle driver, and I have great grades. In my free time, I'm going fishing and camping, but I can't get past the feeling that something is missing. I've been trying to find the right girl, but I can't seem to get past the first couple of dates. I try to be a gentleman, open car doors, buy flowers, come up with unique date ideas, but somewhere I'm going wrong, and it's hard being let down. I understand I'm still young, I have plenty of time, but I just want to hear your input on what I could do differently or how to approach this in a different way. Thanks for your time. Yee yee, Zach.
Yeah. Man, Zach, one, I just want to just kind of affirm the season of life that you're in. You're 21, you're in college, you feel like something's missing. I can remember being that age in my early 20s, and I felt like I should be doing more.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I felt like, because I have friends that were graduating college, or they were going into their profession, or even some that were getting married. And so, Zach, I think it's really, you're in that season of life that you feel like, okay, I'm no longer a kid. Hmm. Now I'm an adult, but you're still a very young adult. Yeah. So I would encourage you, man, just as it relates to the feeling of something missing, just enjoy this season, finish school, finish strong. But then there's another part to that. And he started talking about dating and girls and not being able to get through the next couple of dates, or the first couple of dates rather. And, man, I don't know. Granger, I'll let you take that.
Yeah. To that point, first of all, what you said is great. I remember being 21, like it was yesterday. Yep. I was single, by the way, Zach, at that age. And I remember thinking similar thoughts, like, man, it'd be kind of cool to have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, like, seems like everybody else does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think to speak to something, to speak to you saying what's wrong with me, it's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying you're tired of this stuff. What's wrong with me? I'm going to say right now that all of those things that you're doing don't matter. They don't reflect who you are. If you had changed the way you opened the door, or maybe a different bouquet of flowers, or maybe you had a more unique idea for a date, that wouldn't have mattered. Mm-hmm. The girls that weren't interested just weren't interested in you for none of those other reasons, but because it didn't work with you.
Yeah.
And it's not a knock on you. We're just, some people are attracted to people for certain reasons.
Yeah, it's got to be a good fit.
If you had come up with a more unique date idea, you just would have tricked her for a few more weeks.
That's right.
You know, if you had forgotten to open the car door or bought a different kind of flowers, you just would have tricked her. Be you.
Here's what my dad would tell me. Experience doesn't replace chemistry.
Ooh.
So, you know, just all that dating advice, like, well, you can have the best date ideas, but there's no chemistry.
That's,
you know,
it.
There's no chemistry.
You just summed up everything.
Eventually, you know, you're going to run out of experiences. You know, and so if there's no chemistry there,
that sums it up, Zach. Experience cannot replace chemistry, and that's actually the better word. Chemistry is the better word than attraction. So you either have chemistry or you don't. And if you're truly interested in having a girlfriend, there's nothing terribly wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But that just means keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go again. Lower your expectations.
Yeah.
On what you're trying to get out of a first date.
That's right. And you're 21. Like, it's that feeling of, like, I feel like I should be, now I need to be working on marriage, like, finding that woman that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And you're still really young. So, give yourself a little bit of a break. You know, like, it's okay. Don't put so much pressure on yourself.
Brother, you have so much time.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can't find your future wife tomorrow, but you might find her in 17 years.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel, you know, if I tell you that at 21, that you might not find her for another 21 years, maybe?
Wow.
That could be, that could give you a lot of anxiety, or that could just give you a lot of peace going, well, it's time to focus on my career and my friends. And it sounds like you got a lot going on. You're in college. You have a wildlife biology major you're working on. What a fun major. You got good grades. You got a good job. So the something's missing thing, I think if I was going to pinpoint what's missing, is your expectations are a little too high for looking around and saying, I wish I had a girlfriend right now. So appreciate the email, buddy. Let's get knock out one more, and we'll do a break.
Sure.
And then I'll get you a water, because I promised you water, and I forgot.
But I'm good. I'm a trooper.
You are a trooper, man. Thank you, Christian, for driving over here. I know that this is not the easiest place in the middle of nowhere to come to for a podcast. So
it's all
thank
right.
you, man.
Yep.
It's worth it to these listeners. You it guys is. Comment below how much you love Christian, too, if you're on YouTube. Do you have an idea of where you want to go next here?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Read the subject.
Yeah, family dilemma, monster-in-law, relationship advice, help, questions I need to know, grief.
Let's do monster-in-law just because
I keep saying it.
Clickbait.
I'm trying to keep this short, but my mother-in-law chain smokes all day, every day. I don't know if I've ever seen her without a cigarette in hand. I have a 2-year-old and one on the way, and my husband doesn't see the issue with her having an effect on our children. He's never seen my side of it. And she smokes it. She's been smoking inside her house for 20 plus years. All I ask is that she comes to our home, sees our children, and says, and my husband doesn't say that I'm picking on her anymore. While my mother-in-law and I haven't gotten along since the birth of my second son, I have never kept him from seeing her. How do I have a convo with him before our newborn is born without it causing more issues? I'd like to stay anonymous. I'm from Virginia.
Hmm. That's kind of a difficult one, is you're dealing with a mother-in-law. That's difficult right out of the gate. But it's interesting because I think the mother-in-law is choosing to make, she has the right to make her own decisions.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, chain smoking is not a good choice for your health.
Yeah.
But I feel like as an adult, you have to respect that. And I, like, you can't force change on someone. You know, you can't force her to see the way you see it.
Yeah.
Now, if she's chain smoking in front of the children, that's a whole, you know, in the same room, and that's a whole nother dynamic.
Yeah.
But we're just talking about someone who's choosing to do something that's unhealthy. I guess the question I would ask, what are you trying to accomplish by having this conversation with your husband?
So let's dig in. It says, I have a 2-year-old and one on the way. My husband doesn't see the issue with her habit affecting our children. He never sees my side of it when she also smokes inside her house and she has for 20 plus years. So she says, all I ask is that she comes to our house to see our children. Let me read it like she said it. All's I ask.
All's I
ask. This is from Virginia, is that she comes to our house to see our children, and he says, I'm picking on her. So this is boiling down to communication between her and her husband. And that's really the bottom line of this whole question. I mean, none of us have a question about, is cigarette smoke bad? I will say that people grew up for generations breathing it in.
Man, I grew up.
You know what I mean?
I grew up. Both of my grandparents chain smoked.
Yeah,
and like, they had a white ceiling. And next to my grandfather's chair, there was a yellow ring on the ceiling where he would just sit, and the smoke would just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you would have to fight a cloud of smoke to go in their home.
Yeah, I remember my grandpa, he always got up really early, you know, at 5 in the morning. He would go in there, drink a cup of coffee, and smoke a cigarette. Chain smoke cigarettes and think about the hard day that he was about to have.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like with cigarettes gonna make it better.
Yeah. And so as a little kid, I remember waking up, little kids get up early, and I'd go in there and just sit in there with them. And I don't remember anyone worrying about me being around that. And I don't, maybe I'd be a better human if I didn't smell that at the time. I don't know, but I don't think it affected me. I don't want to undermine the email here of a mother that's actually concerned about her kids.
Yeah, because the truth is it does have a negative impact.
Of course it does.
You know,
so. But what this really boils down to is a conversation with your husband.
Right.
And so you're asking, how do I have a convo with him before our newborn is born? Well, it's you sit down and you say, babe, can I talk to you about something?
Mm-hmm.
Something that's really on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to empathize with him. It's his mama. You're talking about his mama?
And he's been around it his whole life. He's so been he sees his nothing whole life. Wrong with it.
Now, on his side, he needs to have an allegiance to you that's higher than his mama.
That's
we get that. So we're not questioning that either. But if you come in being vulnerable, empathizing with him that this is his mother we're talking about, as kind as you can be, regardless of how he reacts to it, and you just say, babe, can I talk to you about something with this baby on the way? I was wondering if we could... It really bothers me if our kids are around smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me that they're around your mother because I want them to have this grandmother relationship. That just the cigarettes thing, can you talk to her about it? Maybe we could just cut back a little bit or we could be outside a little bit more when she's playing with them. But anyway, come to the table with empathy.
I think that's the key is the way you said it, is I want them to be around your mother. I just don't want them to be around the smoke. So you have to, I think you got to make sure you just communicate there's a difference there because it's so easy to say, I don't want them to go around your mother because she smokes.
Yeah.
Right. Like, do you hear, and when you hear that,
is it right?
Like, well, no, you just said, I don't want them to be around your mother. So you've got to make sure you just communicate. This is to your point earlier on. It's all about communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was talking to Amber earlier today, and with all these questions, thousands of questions, there's like five or six answers for all of them.
Yeah.
It's you need Jesus.
Come on.
You need communication.
Yeah.
You need patience.
Clear expectations.
You need contentment. You need clear expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like six answers.
Sure.
And this one is, and all of them or almost all of them combined at some level. But this is a conversation question that's about communication. And we should all be able to communicate with those around us that we love in a way where we're not attacking them. And you have to be aware that when you start the conversation, you're not attacking or defending yourself because these are his kids too.
For sure.
So you have the motherly instinct, but you're also, these are his kids and you guys both have a say. Once again, I can't repeat enough that Christian and I are not advocating that it's okay for kids to be around cigarette smoke. I'm trying to diminish that. That's not the true problem. It sounds like here.
Yeah.
I think, and I read one on this podcast recently where it was like the same thing, but the grandmother was giving the kids candy too much.
Mm.
And so it's like the same thing where it's, I need to talk to the husband about why they're giving them candy too much.
Yeah.
It's like cigarettes and candy aren't the problem. It's communication.
Yeah.
Thank you for this email. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to get Christian a water. We'll be right back.
All right.
Podcast is brought to you guys today by Ritual. We deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially when it comes to something we take every day. Ritual is clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin is formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms that your body could actually use. What you're not going to find in Ritual is sugars, GMOs, major allergens, synthetic fillers, and artificial colorants. Plus, the fresh taste and delayed-release capsule design makes taking your vitamins super easy. I am not a vitamin guy. I've never really been a vitamin guy because they kind of upset my stomach. And then I started reading about Ritual. They sent me some product to use and it's actually easy on me. It doesn't affect me. And it's because, I guess because the high quality ingredients that they're using is not your typical like over the counter average stuff, the vitamins that you find. Ritual is super high quality stuff. So, it works with me. Great. It's a multivitamin every time you take a multivitamin, you take it because you want it to make you feel better. You want it to make you feel healthier. It should contain key nutrients and forms that your body could actually use to help fill gaps in your nutritional diet with no shady extras. And this is what Ritual does. Its delayed release capsule design delivers high quality nutrients, including vitamin D3 and two daily pills. So you always get what you're taking. You always know exactly what you're taking because it has a one-of-a-kind visible supply chain that you could see. So it's now available for women, men, and teens. Ritual multivitamins are scientifically developed to help support life's different stages. Your multivitamin is delivered to your door every single month with free shipping. You could always start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. If you don't love Ritual within your first month, I got to say that right, they'll refund your entire order. So get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off for your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/Granger to start your ritual today. Podcast is also brought to you by Uncommon Goods. What is Uncommon Goods? Uncommon Goods is, honestly, you got to check it out yourself. It's an online shop filled with unique, totally unexpected gifts. And when I say unexpected, I mean truly original things that you're not going to find anywhere else. If you're looking for someone like my brother Tyler, who has everything, or at least doesn't have anything, but he buys anything that he wants, he gets it off Amazon or whatever. If you want to find something for a guy like that, or a dad, or a mom, or a girlfriend, where you think they're going to know what you got, go to Uncommon Goods. This is a place that they're not going to know where or how. It's full of handmade things from everything from embroidery, from handpicked artists and experts, to online cooking classes and mixology, flower arranging. It has all kinds of crazy stuff. Creative, personalized, really fun gifts for couples, especially couples who have everything. So if you're getting bombarded with wedding and bridal shower invites and you want to step up your gift game, Uncommon Goods is the place to go. Look for products that are high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the U.S. They don't sell products made with leather, feathers, or fur. So don't even worry about that. And every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. Maybe the River Kelly Fund. They've donated more than $2 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Granger. That's uncommongoods.com/Granger for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. So this is episode 95. And for episode 100, the plan is to do like an all-star roundtable. So I have Pastor Chad from First Baptist, mm-hmm. my friend Bernie, you, and Amber. That's kind of my thought.
Okay.
We'll just kind of go around this table, and it's kind of a lot of different perspectives and very wise counsel.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be so cool for episode 100 just to, and I'll just kind of host it and just kick it around.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Okay.
What a fun thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, Amber might not. She'll pop out a baby.
Yeah.
So, So Pastor Christian, back today. You're such a good listener, man. It's such good advice. And part of the reason part of the idea behind this podcast of answering questions is I have a few people in my life that I feel so blessed to be able to bounce off things with.
Yeah.
And I realize that not everyone has that immediately around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this podcast, it really kind of opens up the communication with different people that would get access to you. And you probably don't think that. I know you don't think that, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, man, thanks for having me. It's fun being here. It's fun doing this. And I'm just glad I can give back to your listeners. Man.
Heck yeah. So digging in here. I'm gonna go down from the bottom up now. We have podcast question, hunting. We have life advice regarding lack of relationships.
We can do that one.
You do that one?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, please keep my name anonymous. I have family members that watch this podcast. So
okay.
That's all I'll say about that. It says, howdy Granger, I'm from Michigan. I've been a huge fan of yours for 7 years. I met you 3 times over the years. And I've seen you in concert twice. Can't wait for those days to come back when I get to see you again. My question is this. I'm in my early 30s. I've never been in a relationship. I tend to be pretty shy at first with anybody, but I open up and act like a total goof when I'm comfortable with them. I do have social anxiety, and I've never known what to say to a girl to keep a conversation going. I don't know how to approach a girl, how to make her enamored with me. I do work out, try to take care of myself, and I have a good career in the military, but nothing seems to matter. I've even tried the dating app stuff for a while. I've never had a match the whole time I've had it. I have felt for a long time that I won't ever get the blessing of spending my time and life with a girl, and I'm only getting older. Without giving you my whole life story in every tiny detail, what do you think I could do? I know the whole in God's time and leave it in God's hands, but humans are meant to spend their life with others, and I've been alone and lonely for a very long time. On a side note, I've talked to a mental health advisor just before to see what I should do or how to talk to friends. Thank you for all that you do. Yee yee.
Wow.
Similar to the to a previous question, but we're a completely different age bracket.
Right.
And they're coming at it from a different place.
Yeah. It sounds like this guy, you know, he's more realistic. He's got realistic expectations. And you know what, Granger, as you were reading that, I was just reminded how, you know, we go throughout our every day and we never know what someone else is struggling with and what someone else is going through.
So true.
And, so as I heard that, I don't know who you are. But hopefully you're hearing this. We empathize with you that's a real struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in your late 30s and, have yet to meet the love of your life or the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. One is, I want to just say, kudos to you for reaching out for help. As you were reading that, I was immediately what I was thinking. This, you know, maybe could this guy benefit from some life coaching? But you reached out. Says you reached out to a mental health professional, and I think that's, man, I admire that. I'm just glad that you did that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they're going to be able to help you if there's anything there. But you know, as it relates to women and dating apps and different things like that, you know what? I feel like women are attracted to the most. I don't think it's looks. I don't think it's money. I think it's confidence, not pride, not arrogance, but just being confident.
Yeah. Confident in who you are. Yeah.
Yeah. No matter what you look like, no matter what background you come from, no matter what education you have, but you're just confident in who you are.
Yeah.
And so if I could give you any advice, and that would be to learn to be confident in who you are.
Yeah. And you know how to do that? Exactly what he wrote in this email to me. This email to me says, I'm confident in who I am. Here's who I am. I'm a fan of Granger Smith for 7 years. I'm in my early 30s. I do have social anxiety. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to keep a conversation going with a girl. I work out. I take care of myself. I have a good career in the military. I've tried the whole dating app. Like, what you laid out here was vulnerable and honest, and that equals confidence. Confidence is not of lack of vulnerability or overcompensation. Confidence is, I will not stutter when I tell you who I am.
Yeah. He's very clear on who he is.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. That's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. This is actually a great pitch on a first date.
I would agree. And I think you're probably further along than you think you are.
Yeah.
Like, very few people, there's very few emails you get that people articulate themselves that way.
Yeah.
You know, like that, this is who I am.
Yeah. I mean, imagine sitting at dinner with a girl and say it's a first date and you're kind of going through the surface level. Who are you? You know, where are you from? And I think that's a time to just go, you know, can I tell you something kind of strange? But I have a little bit of social anxiety and I've never really known how to keep a conversation going with a girl. You say that to a girl,
I'm telling you, they'll lean in.
They're going to lean in.
They're going to lean in. They're like, okay, this guy, he's not playing around. He knows who he is.
Yeah.
And he's vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's important to a woman.
It's a girl in the right place at the right time is going to go, don't worry, babe. I'll keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything.
Yeah. I would agree.
Sometimes I read these emails and I think, man, are we putting out too much on social media about how you're supposed to be?
Oh, I think for sure. I think there's this image that we portray as both men and women. We know this who we're, you know, what does the alpha male look like? What is the image that he's supposed to be? How's he supposed to act? How's he supposed to talk? What is he supposed to look like? And I mean, you know, and any mature woman would tell you that you know, those looks fade. And they're not what's important. At the end of the day, it's not about how you look, how you talk, how you walk. It's about who you are.
So right.
It's about who you are as a person.
And and I would take this second to last paragraph you're talking about. You say, I know the whole in God's time and leave it in God's hands. I would build this into your prayer. And I would say,
that's a good thought.
As if, almost if David was, you know, writing a song, and I'd say, God, where are you? Mm-hmm. Because I know I'm supposed to leave it in your hands, and that's what I'm doing, but I don't hear anything. And I know you tell me that man's not supposed to be alone, mm-hmm. but here I am.
I'm alone. Yeah.
Will you help me understand this?
Yeah.
Make that into your prayer.
What's the value in my aloneness? Like, because where's God? What are you teaching me?
That's what you.
What are you showing me? Where's the value in this pain, if you will, this loneliness?
That what Christian's saying is the next level of maturity in a prayer is when the first level is, God, why am I alone? Yeah. And the second level is, God, I'm alone. What do you need me to learn from this?
Yeah. So good.
Great question, buddy. And our hearts go out to you. I think you're saying and doing all the right things. And when I see you next time at a meet and greet at a show in Michigan, I want you to come hug my neck and say, hey, I'm the guy. I'm the anonymous guy.
Yeah.
Here I am.
I'm that guy.
Let's lighten it a little bit.
Sure.
And do this one that says hunting. Hey, I'm Braden from Arkansas. I want to know what's your favorite big game to hunt. And Braden, I have never done any crazy, serious, big game, Alaska, Montana hunt. I've dreamed about going on an elk hunt. Touring usually and work usually holds me out of that. So I have shot a mule deer in Mexico, which is the biggest game hunt I've ever done. And then a lot of whitetail. And I would love to continue that, you know, and explore other options. But, I love whitetail deer. That's what I grew up and with my dad and my brothers. So I have such a, such fond memories of being in the outdoors and, being in nature and regardless of what we got.
Yeah.
So how about you, Christian?
Yeah, I'm just not, my dad wasn't a hunter. So, I grew up hunting whitetail deer and all that in Alabama, but not a big game, never been on a big game trip. Would love to go.
It takes a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. And it's usually a lot of travel.
A lot of time off work.
Yeah, I'd love to go. There's not a particular game that I'm just, if you just ask me right now, what would that kill? What would you want that kill to be? I don't have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you always think about going to safari, you know, going to Africa and hunting whatever, the things over there. But yeah, wish I could give you a better answer to that.
The one thing, if you could say, all right, money doesn't matter, time doesn't matter, there's the Dall sheep in the Northwest mm-hmm. Territory of Canada, mm-hmm. and to get there, you have to be flown in, dropped off. It's like a nine-day hunt. It's like you and one or two other guys, and you walk for miles and miles through this just incredible northern territory, mm-hmm. and the odds of getting a sheep are like 1 in 50.
Oh, wow.
You might go for 9 days. More than likely, you'll go for 9 days and not get anything.
Wow.
But just being in those elements, and I have a buddy that did this, and he just told stories of what it does to you in terms of your gratefulness for a chair or a candy bar.
That's right.
Or spaghetti dinner or a nice sleep without rain and cold.
Yeah.
It's just, it's truly tribal for a man to go into a territory with no cell phone service and no amenities and no immediate food source.
Yeah, I would agree. So usually once or twice a year, my dad and my brothers, we get together and we'll meet up somewhere and we'll spend 4 or 5 days backpacking, just trekking, no cell service.
Where do you guys go?
Most recently, we went to North Georgia, to the southern tip of the Appalachian Mountains. So,
what time of year do you do that?
In the fall.
So it's too hot in the summer.
Yeah, we're
too
going many in the mosquitoes. Fall. We always go in the fall. As a matter of fact, we were just talking last night. I was on the phone with my dad, and we were trying to figure out where's that week going to be this fall. We're all busy and traveling. But but to your point, though, of just being away, no cell service, the disconnect.
Yeah.
And just, it's very majestic.
Yeah.
But imagine the 1 in 50 chance. Like, what a small percentage, if you do get that, game. Yeah. What a small percentage you are on the planet that's had that opportunity.
Yeah.
What a cool opportunity.
Yeah.
There's probably a short list of the men that have ever been able to kill that,
yeah,
that game, you know?
Yeah, and you could see it. You know, you see it in your binoculars,
yeah,
and then you'll start a journey after this one ram.
Yeah.
And he's always putting the same distance away from you as you're putting towards him, and you could spend days going after one hilltop to the next, and then you realize it's day 8, I got to get back to the plane, yeah. I'm not going to get to him. That's it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Braden. Let's go back to you, Christian. Family dilemma, relationship advice, help.
Help. Let's see what help is.
Says, here we go. It says, good morning. I don't know who else to talk to. It says, March of 2020, I left work per doctor's orders to health reasons and COVID. After 33 years, they let me go May 1st. I was blindsided. They made it so I can't claim unemployment. I prayed for God to point me in the right direction. I asked him to show me the next job. In July, my buddy's wife passed away and she ran his contractor business. I went in 2 weeks later and started helping him until I found a job. He liked how I took over and got the bills paid, closing his wife's business, and handling all the things with her death. He told his accountant that he wanted me on his payroll. That was August. Since then, he has paid me 3 times. I need to tell him I need regular pay, but I don't know how to approach it. I've asked him a couple times, but I don't know if he's forgotten or what. I was making really good money a year down. Mm-hmm. And God bless my wife for understanding, but I need to figure out how to talk to him about this. Any advice? I love listening to you on your podcast. God bless you and your family.
Well, what a tough combo he's got to have. But I think it's a pretty straightforward conversation, wouldn't you agree, Granger?
Yeah.
Like, it's not personal. It's just
this kind of goes back to, like, the woman that was smoking cigarettes and the daughter-in-law needs to talk. And it goes back to, there's only 6 or 7 answers to thousands of questions. And, you were put in this situation. You were a blessing to their family. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're having hesitations of bringing it up because of the death of his wife, you also have to see that you've been a blessing to their family. Mm-hmm. And there should be no reason why he shouldn't be putting you on this payroll, especially if you want the job. Maybe, and this all comes down to communication, maybe he doesn't know if you were just helping or you actually do
want
this.
The job.
That's not just sit him down and say, I would set a time where you say, hey man, can we grab lunch on Tuesday?
Yeah. And I think a good way to start that conversation is going into the conversation, let him know what this is not. This conversation is not personal. This conversation is not me being ungrateful for the opportunity you've already given me. This conversation is literally just about me providing for my family. And so you bring up the fact we had a conversation about me coming on your payroll. I just need a straightforward answer. Is that something that's going to happen in the near future? And if not, I've got to find someone that's going to provide for my family.
If I was listening to this podcast and I wrote this email and it says, good morning, I don't know who else to talk to. That's how he starts it. I would pause this podcast right now and I'd go back to what Christian just said about how to start the conversation and what this conversation is not. I think that is so wise. I would literally write that down, what you said.
Yeah. I think too often, Granger, in conversations, and it can be a conversation with your spouse, with a family member, with a coworker, we don't communicate well. Yeah. We were misunderstood, and I think sometimes we make things turn into a big deal that didn't need to be a big deal. Mm. I think, I struggle sometimes with my communication to certain individuals, so I always want to be clear and direct. Hey, this is not what I'm saying, although I don't know how to fully articulate it because my feelings are involved, because his feelings are involved in this. He probably feels taken advantage of. He feels overlooked. And so to tell you that your feelings aren't involved, they're involved.
Yeah.
They're fully there. They're there. So when I know that I'm going into a conversation that is my feelings are involved, or I've been hurt, or I'm hurting, or I'm just emotional, like, I'm very clear on the front end, like, hey, look, this is not what I'm trying to say. Although it may creep in there a little bit, but it's not my heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think there's nothing wrong with just being totally open in a conversation And here we go again with this being vulnerable thing. Just being vulnerable and just saying, I'll be honest with you, I've struggled with setting up this conversation because I'm worried that you might get the wrong impression, worried that I might say the wrong thing, because the truth is, buddy, I love you and your wife, and I hurt for you that you lost her, and I want to help with the business, but I also have my own family, and I need this paycheck, and I need you to tell me if this is something long-term, or if I need to go somewhere else, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And this is like one lunch and it takes 30 minutes and you could have all of this ease, your mind. You don't have to email the podcast and say, I don't know who else to talk to, you know. Communication, guys.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You pick one.
You want me to pick one?
Pick it.
Okay. I'm going to go with a podcast question, like the generic one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Says, hello, my name is William. I'm from Plano, Texas. I'm 17, going on 18. And I want to tell you how much of a blessing you are to me and my family. I love your music. I love Yee Yee Apparel. I'm going to become a United States Marine when I graduate from high school. And I can't wait to be a husband and a father someday. Here's my question. What's the best part about being a father? And what's the best advice you could give about fatherhood and husbandhood as a Christian? Love in Christ, William.
The best part about being a father.
I think before we even start, we have to say this question is coming a little early for him.
Yeah, it is coming early, but wonder what, like a 17-year-old that's already thinking about that? What a solid guy, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
He's about to serve our country.
Man, I'm so proud for you. You becoming a Marine, you've got a lot going on. Your head is just on straight, asking great questions, ending it with love in Christ, and you're excited about being a husband and a father. So with all that, I would say at the same time, let's go back to what Christian and I were saying a lot earlier and just kind of lower expectations automatically on what that could mean for you, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
No.
You don't know. You may get married in 5 years and have a baby, or you might not. If you've listened to this podcast so far, you know that there's people that have gone a long time without any of that.
That's right.
But what you do have right now is this path to the Marine Corps, and this is going to take you on an incredible journey, maybe even around the world. And so, although I'm definitely going to answer your question, I don't want you to worry about this.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But the best part about being a father is, that's a broad question, but the fact that you're leaving this world one day with an imprint of you.
Yeah.
It's just profound.
It is. For me, it's what I'm entrusted with. For me, it's like I'm entrusted to steward three lives.
Yes.
To teach them, direct them, coach them, father them, parent them, love on them, discipline them. That's the best part of it.
In a lot of ways, they're the clay. They're your molding of clay.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's so much fulfillment. Life fulfillment in that, and that when you go through life and you're treading through and you make mistakes and then you do things that are good and you store those thoughts away in your mind and you go, man, I messed up and I want to make sure that how do I instill this in my kids that this wasn't a good decision that I made. Or man, I got so much out of this. How do I instill in my kids that this is important for them too?
Yeah.
And then most importantly, above all that, as Christians, you know, there's Christians, the Bible talks a lot about being parents and being fathers. And our job is to steward them towards Christ.
Yep.
To lead them to Jesus. Because we're called to minister to the world, but it starts in our own home.
That's right.
And it starts with our kids. And so what an epic responsibility that is. And that is something that you have to look forward to, William. And let me go here now. But I'll say a giant but in everything we've just said. This is going to start with your future wife. And she is going to be a partner in this. And she is going to either make this very difficult for you or very comforting and easier for mm-hmm. you. So put your focus on her first.
I say that's the most important decision right there.
Yeah, put your focus on her first.
Outside of choosing to follow Christ, that is the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life.
Yeah.
And it'll impact you. I mean, it has a tremendous impact, obviously.
Yeah. But man, congrats on everything, buddy. And hoorah, Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Let's grab one more, Christian. We got one time for one more if you're cool.
Yeah, I'm good.
You want to hit this family dilemma?
Let's do it.
I keep saying it. It's right at the top of the email chain now. It says, hey, Granger, longtime listener and fan. I currently live in South Austin. Man, that's number two for us today on this podcast, an Austinite. But we actually met a few years ago when you did an appearance on CBS Sports to promote a new album in Earl's Dip'em and Pick'em. My dilemma, I've been married to my husband for 4 years now. We have a two-year-old daughter. We're wanting to start our own family traditions and to do things on our own, just the three of us. But my mom is having a hard time with the idea that this includes doing our own thing for the holidays. My husband has had a dream ever since he was little to take his future wife and kids skiing on a trip for Christmas. I side with my husband as he is now my priority. But my question is, how do I effectively communicate this with my mom so that she isn't always so upset by this? We have already tried to compromise and do Christmas with her at a different time, but she would rather us nix the trips or push them back to match her schedule. We don't have a big family, and big family Christmases have never been really a part of our family. But the past 2 years, she's been trying to make them a thing. I appreciate mm-hmm. you and your help.
Yeah. We have a theme.
We do.
We have a theme. I think we have a communication theme.
Yeah.
You know, I think you run into that. You see this a lot in a lot of family dynamics, don't you, Granger? You see mm-hmm. how you have in-laws or a mom, in this case, it's not even an in-law. It's mm-hmm. her own mother. I think too often within our family dynamic, like we give mother-in-laws or even parents a little too much weight mm-hmm. into like how we're going to do, say we're going to do holidays and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, because I have friends that they have the same dilemma and I'm thinking to myself, but it's you're responsible for your immediate family. And what you choose to do with your immediate family is not a reflection of that you don't want to be with your in-laws or you don't want to be with your mother and dad, but it's your responsibility to create those traditions with them.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's just a conversation.
Yeah, I totally agree. Did she say her name? She didn't, so I won't mm-hmm. say it. But she's saying all the right things.
Yeah.
And just needing affirmation from us that she is doing the right thing. And this is a conversation that might not be easy. None of these in this podcast today will be easy. Don't expect them to just the person that you're talking to go, cool, no problem.
That's right.
But here we go again. This is the six answers to 2,000 questions.
Yeah.
Be vulnerable. Be honest. Be forthcoming in everything. Like Kristen said, tell her the things that this conversation is not. This is not about our lack of love for you, Mom.
Yeah.
This isn't not wanting to be with you for the holidays.
Right.
This isn't disrespecting your traditions.
Right.
But what this is establishing our core family. We're still you have a young family, a two-year-old daughter, that's it. And so this is establishing some really important memories as a family. And it's also fulfilling your husband's dream that he's wanted to do since he was a little kid. You don't want to take that away from him. It's something he's always wanted to do. You didn't say this, and I don't want to step over the line here, but asking the mother to come on the ski trip could be a nice little babysitter.
Could.
If you guys want to go out and get a dinner those nights and wherever your ski town is, you have a little date night because mom's going to be with the two-year-old. That sounds like a pretty good deal. She might not go for it. You might not even want it, but I'm throwing it out there. But this is really cut and dry. The decision is easy. The conversation is hard.
That's right. And I think to the point when I said, don't give her too much weight, like be okay that she may not be okay with the decision you mm-hmm. made. Like don't allow it to weigh you down that much. Cause really you're responsible for yourself.
Perfect.
Man. And it's on her on how she wants to respond to this. So
yeah,
if you do it lovingly, do it care, like do it honoring. Yeah. She's your mother. You want to honor her in the process, but at the end of the day, it's about you and your husband and creating new traditions.
That's right. So what Christian is saying is that this is not a vote. This isn't not a democracy with her. This is, you're going to be telling her in a very empathetic way.
That's right.
What you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome question. And, thank you, Christian, for tackling these. You're interested in this episode 100?
That sounds like fun.
I think you're so good. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And we got to get you back for other ones. I appreciate you driving over here and being part of this. And you make this podcast better, buddy.
Appreciate
you, dude.
See you, bro.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on the Granger Smith podcast. I appreciate all of you guys. You could help me out by rating this podcast on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, hit that little like button and notifications bell so that you never miss any time I upload a video. If you have a question for me that you would like me to answer, email grangersmithpodcast@gmail.com. Yee yee.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hey, I'm here to tell you about Up Faith and Family, the leading streaming service for uplifting entertainment. It's the only place to stream all seasons of the award-winning series Heartland with exclusive content you won't see anywhere else. Binge all the past seasons and don't miss a season 17 premiere on April 25th and stream a new episode weekly. Dive into the warmth of Heartland and let Up Faith and Family be your go-to service for all things uplifting. Start your free trial today. Go to upfaithandfamily.com for your free trial. upfaithandfamily.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.